0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on another big night of European football. Rangers play Sparta Prague in Philippe Clement's first home Europa League clash. Aberdeen are underway in Greece and lead Pauk by a goal to nil early on. And the fallout from Celtic's Madrid humbling continues as Alistair Johnston calls it his most difficult night in football. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight, two men who had plenty of difficult nights in football. It's Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
It is another huge night on the European front, and what a start we've got with Duke putting Aberdeen ahead in Greece against Pauk, and Rangers to come later. Rangers still firmly in their group, and Clement will look to take his domestic form into Europe tonight. It's a big challenge, but Rangers fans going along will think they'll have every chance.
Yeah, after a disappointing result the other night with Celtic, we're looking forward to tonight, and it's all about Aberdeen, early kick-off. So far it's been very positive. Is a bit of confidence growing at Pittodrie into the first cup final, winning away from home tonight 1-0, and then we look forward to Ibrox, full house, exciting games ahead.
Come on down then, 0141 951 1025. What are you thinking tonight then, Rangers fans? You should know the drill by now. If one of our big teams is playing at home in Europe, you are duty bound to phone us on your way to the game, just to let us share the build up with you, how you're feeling, if you're confident, if you've got any nerves, most importantly what your team would look like, anyone you think deserves a chance, anyone you don't want to see played in a game of this magnitude. It is the first time home fans have got to see a European game under Philippe Clement's reign, so what are you expecting? If you're on your way to the game, or if you're settling down to watch it on the couch, give us a call either way, 0141 951 1025. If last night's calls are anything to go by, I don't think we get over Atletico Madrid 6 Celtic 0 in just one night. Maybe you've had a bit more time for the dust to settle, the emotion to drop out of it. Whatever it is, Celtic fans, how do you look back on it now? Your overall thoughts either on the game or where you go from here, or general kind of standing in Europe, all the usual discussion points that generally follow. We even had a bit of a barney about ticket allocations last night. I always say it's a real staple of the Clyde One Super Scoreboard regime, a good argument about stuff like that. So if you want to keep your thoughts coming, please do, and we'll watch along as Aberdeen hopefully cause a bit of a shock in Greece. Duke has them 1-0 up early on. So St Mirren fans and Hibs fans, I've not forgotten about you actually last night. What did you make of that game? There is so much happening, so please do pick up the phone. It's the same drill every Thursday. I'd rather speak to you than speak to them. So if you can give us a call, 0141 951 1025, you'd be doing us a real service. Thoughts on the week's action so far?
Okay, starting on Tuesday night. Another...
What minute did you switch it off?
Wasn't it long into the second half? I thought, I could see this coming after Maeda got sent off. The funny thing was, when Celtic went one behind, and that can happen at that level in the Champions League when you're playing against guys like Griezmann, they can undo you early on. But I thought Celtic, from that period until Maeda was sent off, were excellent. I thought they controlled the ball. In fact, a stat came up, I think it was like 65% possession they had. They won the ball back quickly. They were pinning Atletico back without really creating anything too clear cut. And then the sending off comes. And then it's at that point you think, how's the manager going to respond to this? What tactics is he going to employ? Are they going to sit in and defend their 18-yard line and try and get something late on in the game? He was brave enough to put Palma and Kyogo up front and leave the three in midfield. And I thought that just allowed Atletico to get a real foothold. And the tide just kept coming at Celtic. And I wasn't really surprised when they conceded. And it's that second goal just before half time that throws everything out. I had every sympathy for them, but I still think with 10 men, against top class opposition, you should be able to defend.
Remind me, what was your prediction? You were in here on Tuesday night. Yeah, what did you leave us with?
I said that Celtic would get nothing.
What was the score?
I didn't give a score, no. But I did say that the danger man, because I was so impressed with them, was Griezmann.
I was, believe it or not, because I don't do it regularly, I was going to give you some credit, because I thought one of you said like 3-0, and really if you had a red card into the mix, maybe you were kind of...
No, I thought it was going to be a very difficult night for Celtic. I pinpointed the danger man. I'm sure everybody knew that anyway, because I thought he was absolutely brilliant at Celtic.
I thought that was going to be another one though, where he's claiming that he's like uncovered some hidden gem.
But listen, they've got some good players. Morata, for instance, you could have spoken about him. But Griezmann for me at Celtic Park just showed what type of player he was. Away from home, listen, it was a massive task, 11v11. When it goes to 10, lights out.
01419511025. And before that though, for anyone watching in the live stream, what's the big news tonight? He's finally done it. Look at him.
I know.
Like, he's getting the Partick Thistle tracksuit on. Unbelievable.
The right way. It's quite nice, eh? Nice colours. It's fine.
It's one each at Aberdeen.
Oh, so it is, unfortunately. Oh, that lead didn't last long.
I missed
long.
That because I was looking at my trackie in the camera.
I've got to say, you've had some tracksuits in your career, haven't you?
That's a good one. Alawa, made a nice material.
Alawa, Airdrie, Brechin, Partick.
Dumbarton.
Dumbarton.
Sons of the Rock.
He's had some. Charity shops, mum.
Right, plenty to get through tonight. Let's build up to the kickoff at Ibrox, of course, and look back on what's already happened in the week. 01419511025. Rangers fans, if you call us now, we'll set the scene with Andrew McLean.
Clyde One Super Scoreboards European coverage with Trustdeed Scotland. For life after debt, visit trustdeedscotland.net.
Yeah, good evening. Matchday 4 of these Europa League groups, and it's still really tight in Rangers' group, isn't it? Real Betis on 6 points, Sparta Prague and Rangers on 4, Aris Limassol on 3. But the big plus for Rangers is back-to-back home games up next, starting, of course, tonight against Sparta Prague. And the reason it's good news, you just need to look at Rangers' record at Ibrox in the Europa League. Just 3 defeats in the last 32 Europa League games here. And that's including qualifiers as well. But some of the teams that they've overcome, the likes of Leipzig, Porto, Feyenoord, even Real Betis, of course, this season as well, lost in the fixture. So if Rangers are able to make the most of these next two home matches, they'll put themselves in a really good position to get into the knockout stages. Sparta are certainly no mugs, though. We saw that, didn't we, in the reverse fixture. They're top of their domestic league as well. And a big plus for them is that top scorer Lucas Hrasalan is back fit. He missed the last game between these two sides, but he's expected to come in and start tonight as well, so he'll certainly look to be a danger. But as for team news for Rangers, the likes of Ridvan Yilmaz, Leon Balogun not in the European squad, that does seem to be a bit of a frustration for Philip Clement. He has mentioned a couple of times, you know, he didn't get to pick the European squad because it happened before he came in. And certainly Leon Balogun is a player that he's relied on in the last few weeks and is someone that you think might have started this game if he was in the squad. To add to the issues at centre-back, John Souter out injured again. Nicholas Raskin in midfield as well, he's out until after the international break. It's likely too soon for Rabi Matondo to make a return as well. But there could be a cameo for Kemar Roof. He scored a good few goals in this competition as well. Philip Clement saying he'll be fit if needed, but only really for 5 or 10 minutes towards the end of the game. I'll give you the full team news from Ibrox as soon as I get it.
01419511025. Graham is a Rangers fan. Are you going tonight, Graham, watching from home? What are the plans?
No, I'm just heading early now, mate. I've got a wee grandson in the motor with me.
Brilliant. What's his name?
Caden,
good to have you both along. What are you expecting when you get there, Graham?
I'm saying you might remember wee Caden from last year after a Liverpool game. I phoned you.
Oh, I've called him Caden. Sorry, Caden. Has he been on before? He's a multiple cap holder on Super Scoreboard.
Aye, it was him that made the comment when I said after 7-1, he says, less than a tenner a goal, Grander, that was good value. You might remember him.
Surely you're hoping for better value tonight then.
Okay, aye, he'll do well tonight. I think he's instilled a bit of confidence. But what I would like to see, I'd like to see Cantwell plays a 10 and Lammers come out of the team altogether, and the boy McCausland White, we'd go with McCausland, Danilo and Seymour, and we
Cantwell
just
staff. Yeah, it could be interesting because we spoke about this earlier in the week. You know, Cantwell didn't start against Dundee. You could say, fine, that was a rest. But then taken off at half time. Yes, Philippe Clement said it was due to being on a booking. Scott Wright came on and really injected something to Rangers, but he's an injury doubt for tonight. So How do they all fit in?
I've got Cantwell in the number 10, just behind Danilo on my team.
Just in front of Balogun.
Don't get me wrong.
I've got to say, his team. I swear, just to throw him under the bus.
No, I just put that there for duty copy. But I think Cantwell will play. I think maybe if Wright's not fit, I think he'll go with Cantwell, Lammers, Danilo, and Seymour.
I've seen a few people already on Twitter tonight, and now Graham's phoned in as well. Hoping that McCausland gets a start. He may well do, Mark. It's just he didn't. You know, he's not really he didn't feature from the start of the weekend as an example. Philip Clement clearly sees something, but whether it's enough to go in from the start tonight, what do you think?
I'd find that hard to believe that he would come from almost obscurity right into a starting lineup.
I mean, he has been featured,
not obscurity, though, yeah. But I mean, you know, from the bench to starting a game of this magnitude, it all depends, of course, on the fitness of Scott Wright. I think if Scott Wright's fit, then it's a no-brainer that he's going to play. I think the only position really up for grabs is that number 10 role, and it's between Cantwell and Lammers. And if I had to pick one of them, it's a hard decision just now. If you asked me 3-4 weeks ago, I would have said Cantwell all day long, because Lammers, I just don't see it with Lammers. But in the last week or so, where Lammers scores a very good goal at Dundee, and Cantwell, you know, withdrawn at Hampden on Sunday, I just wonder if Clement, just not as much a fan of Cantwell as Michael Beale was. So I think that was a bit of a statement on Sunday, substituting and then getting the positive reaction from his team in the second half. I
mean, he did say it was because he was on a booking. That was the reason.
Come on, I mean, so every time one of his players gets a booking, he's going to withdraw them? I don't think so. I think he knew fine well what his team needed and what they didn't need, and they needed more going forward than Cantwell.
Do you think there was something else there, Mark? Just the way he answered that question.
Sinister just thinks it's a way to improve the team in the second half.
Well, if say Goulton gets booked in ten minutes, he's going to take him off.
Oh, half time.
Nonsense. He obviously knew that Cantwell wasn't contributing the way he needed at the top end of the pitch.
Yeah, I mean, Graham, look, he's been injured, obviously. He is a fan's favourite. You kind of backing him to come back in and really kind of show why that the fans enjoyed his stuff in the early period.
I think he gives you merit going forward. I think Lammers is just hopeless, mate. I just don't think it's going to happen for him here. So I think he should just... Maybe Cantwell's not his type of player, but I think he's, whatever he is, he's better than Lammers. So I'd go with Cantwell.
Yeah, well, I suppose that is the other thing. If you're, you know, Cantwell off that side, are you losing a bit? It felt like booking a side. He just wasn't able to really impact it from that side at the weekend at Hampden. You know what it's like when we go, you get a nice big high view and right on his side in the first half, and just didn't really seem to click.
Look, I tend to go along with what Mark said there. I don't think he was pulling up trees at Hampden. I thought that it was quite an easy option to say, look, you're on a booking, I'm going to take you off. He wanted to change the system, and let's be fair to the manager, all credit to him, it worked brilliantly for them. Cantwell's not been playing at the top of his form. Lammers had a terrific goal at Dens Park, so that's got to do his confidence the world of good. I think the now with the two of them, you'll get 10 Rangers supporters on here. 5 will go for Lammers, 5 will go for Cantwell. It's a toss-up. I don't think Cantwell's playing particularly well just now. So I don't think it'd be a big miss if it was Lammers, or I don't think it'd be a big miss if it was Cantwell.
Graham, how frustrating is it that guys like Leon Balogun aren't in the European squad? I know hindsight's brilliant, and so maybe maybe we're being a bit selective because of the circumstances we find ourselves in now, but he's clearly been one of the better performers in the last couple of weeks, hasn't he?
I know, it just sums Beale up, doesn't it? Leaving guys like that out with that. It is frustrating. He's come in and done well, but you just need to trust Davis to keep it even and not give away penalties.
Well, that would be ideal. I mean, like I say, Mark, probably the glaring one probably is left back.
Oh, without doubt.
Because it's like, you know, just don't have a backup there, whether he thought, you know, Dujon Sterling or whatever, and they could cover it. That seems to be, from the outset, a bigger error. But now that we're here, and again, I stress it, I know we've got the benefit now of hindsight, but if Philippe Clement was picking his strongest team tonight, it feels like Leon Balogun might be in it.
I think so. You know, Balogun's done well since he's come back into the side. I think he brings that positivity going forward. He'll drive with the ball into the midfield area, exactly what Clement wants. And he just gives you that physical presence that I think Rangers were missing. I think Rangers are missing when Davies plays. I don't think he's physical enough for a centre-half when he's been put under pressure. But that left side, that both of those positions, left-back, you're right, Gordon's the more glaring one for me. I mean, what were they thinking before? That Barisic was going to be in form and play every game and Sterling was the backup. That, to me, is a poor choice when you've got Yilmaz in the building. And I know Yilmaz struggles with injuries, but still, you have to expect that there's going to be an issue there, or think the worst with Barisic.
Yeah, I suppose, Gordon, if, you know, there wasn't a lot, there was hardly anything wrong with Rangers at the weekend. They were very convincing and they won and they're through to a final. Just specifically, personally, for Ben Davies, if that just wasn't an ideal preparation for tonight. If you now know that he's going to come into the starting 11, he came on and gave away the penalty and just was a bit all over the place. That's not to say that that's definitely going to happen tonight. It's just not ideal preparation.
No, but he's a very experienced player. If you're experienced and you're good enough, Gordon, you accept the bad days, and it wasn't the greatest weekend for him. He's got a big game tonight. They're at home. Ideal situation for Rangers, probably the way they're playing, Goulson and Balogun. But that's not going to happen. And Davies can slot in there. And it'll be up to him just to say... Plus the fact there's a little bit of added pressure on him, the fact that he now knows that if Balogun was able tonight, he'd be in the team. Certainty. He'd be in the team. So he's now got competition, not just from John Souter, where everybody thought it was a straight pick. Balogun's now probably taking the number one jersey. I think at the weekend he'll be back in the team. So it's up to Ben Davies now to show the manager he wants to be part of it.
Go on then, before we let you go, Graham, how confident are we talking score prediction? Let's hear it.
2-0 Rangers.
Seems like a fairly straightforward evening at the office. How confident would you be? Has Graham got that about right?
I fancy them to sneak it tonight, I really do. I think that I think Andrew said in his intro about the home advantage and how well Rangers do in these big nights.
It's some record, that, isn't it?
It's incredible. It obviously brings out the best in them, and I don't see anything different tonight. I don't think it'll be, you know, a comfortable rate for Rangers. I think they'll need to defend at times, and I think their goalkeeper, who's excellent, will be called into question. But I do think they'll go over the line tonight.
Okay, thank you, Graham. Enjoy your evening at the game. It's 01419511025. What do you think, Rangers fans? Graham's got you up and running there with some suggestions about who should play and who shouldn't play. If you agree, give us a call. And if you disagree, give us a call as well. We'll have a wee debate as we build up to kick-off. Still Palk 1, Aberdeen 1. A bit of a sore one on an Aberdeen player there.
It was there a late one on the ankle, and the old VAR this week, we've seen one with Rashford last night, one with Maeda. Mm-hmm. When you freeze frame it...
Was that any different?
Not really, if I'm being honest, but I don't think any of them are a red card in that respect. But again, consistency, big thing across Europe, not just in our country with VAR.
Yeah, 10 minutes to half time in Greece there. It's 01419511025, and if you call us right now, there is a good chance we'll get you on next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it, watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Diel are here. It's 0141 951 1025. It's still Palk 1 Aberdeen 1. Remember, Duke opened the scoring, and a lovely goal it was, by the way, for Aberdeen. He's just been penalised for a pretty strange offside call, but anyway, unfortunately couldn't keep the lead for too long. They have been pegged back. We're building up to kickoff at Ibrox. Celtic fans, we'll take your day two reaction to that game in Madrid. If you want to get it over to us right now, that would be lovely. 01419511025. Alan is a Rangers fan from Perth, Australia, of all places. Alan, how's it going?
Aye, not bad. I've just woke up, and I thought I'd better give you guys a phone.
What a way to start your day.
You going to the game?
You, I'll be using the Gordon DL streaming service.
Oh, we wouldn't possibly know what you're talking about, Alan.
You wouldn't have fell asleep.
I am legally obliged to say that as a company, we have no idea how Gordon DL watches so many football games.
I don't know either.
The lawyers have told me to
say that. Again about Alan.
The lawyers have told me to say that.
They're legends.
Alan, all the way over there then, what it's a long way to get a vibe, but what kind of vibe are you getting for the new manager? Are you liking what you're seeing? You know, are you confident today?
The new manager, as Hugh Keevan says, he's a proper manager. You know what I mean? He knows what he's doing. I just love the way he is, the way he talks to the press, the way he is with the players. And you can see the way the team's playing. They're further up the park. They're working as a team properly. And they look as if they know what they're doing. You know what I mean? I think there was one of the players was saying that he simplifies things. You know what I mean? So it just looks a whole... It's exciting to watch the games again. You know what I mean? You're no nervous. Like before, I was like... another thing Hugh Keevan said was, after the Celtic game, I couldn't believe it. I should have phoned you after that, after the Celtic game. We sat back against Celtic with the Ibrox. They've got the worst defence, you know, supposedly. But we just sat back. We let them come at us. You know, we're at home. So after that, Michael Beale was finished for me, you know. But now I'm excited. We've got a proper guy in charge and it feels like things are happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's still early. So the thing is, you're ticking off all these different, you know, especially at this time of year, you go from league games to League Cup semis back to Europe. So we've seen an away performance in Europe from Philippe Clement's Rangers. I'm sure he wasn't delighted with it all, because it was a tough watch if you were a Rangers fan to begin with. Weathered it and then maybe even could have nicked something later on. So first time at home in the competition. Be interesting to see what that looks like tonight.
Yeah, I think initial opinion from the Rangers fans is very positive, Gordon. He's come in, he looks a part. I think that they're picking up on everything. That's what happens when you're winning games. First and foremost, he's got to win games and he's doing that. They're picking up on, you know, talking to players when they're coming off the pitch and how he's conducting himself in the dugout. What I'm really looking forward to seeing is when he gets to January, because he's working with Michael Beale's squad, really. He's got to bring in his own players. Will he change his formation, style of football? I don't know. But so far he's getting a tune out of one or two players that Michael Beale struggled to get a tune out of.
Yeah, he needed a quick hit when he came in. He needed to, like Alan said there, go back to basics probably for some players. Maybe that was a problem with Michael Beale. Maybe he was trying to overcomplicate things and the players just needed a straight talker. And I believe Clement is a straight talker. The way he conducts himself in front of the media, pre and post match, seems pretty straightforward. And I think the players are buying into that. You only have to hear John Lundstrom's comments the other day, which was quite remarkable, and saying that how the mood was so much better than before, to see that that's you know, how the Rangers players are adapting and how they're performing much better. Because if you're getting into work every day and training under a cloud, quite quickly that will transfer onto the pitch. Yeah. But if you're getting in, you're enjoying it, and it's a breath of fresh air, again, the opposite, it'll transfer onto the pitch. Now, the performances haven't been great, but results have been good, and that's all Clement could do.
See, I was all about that, because I was there. I heard John Lundstrom speak those words, and I thought, that's interesting. It was really strong stuff. And we spoke about it the other night when Andy and Roger were on. And then someone sent me a few articles of in which John Lundstrom does this for every new Rangers manager,
did he?
Apparently.
I
didn't realise. My memory doesn't stretch back that far. I think he called Beale a tactical genius. And then it was something said prior. So there we go.
Well, I withdraw that last statement then. Lundstrom's full of nonsense.
He could still mean it. He could still absolutely mean it, for sure.
You've just burst Clement's bubble. If he's listening in, he's going, what is that, John?
I'm sure they'll have us on in the team bus.
You never know.
Alan, so that will translate into a win tonight for you, does it?
I think it'll be a tight game. I'm old enough to know. I've seen enough Rangers managers, but I think we'll win. I think it'll be very tight, but we'll win the night. Can I just make a quick point about last night's show, if possible?
You can, very quickly, yep.
I listen to podcasts all the time, so I was driving the day and I was listening to it and I was thinking to myself, that was a red card all day long, the Celtic game the other night. I mean, might have been a bit soft, but as the letter of the law goes, he studs it up, they hit the shin, red card. Mm. That's all I want to say.
Yeah, anyway. It's one man's opinion. Marvin and Jim had theirs last night. I think that's fine. I don't think... I think you'll clearly hear a good number of people agreeing with Alan. I don't know how many. Those two felt very strongly last night. I did suggest that those two, you know, love a tackle. So that's maybe why they mm-hmm. felt that way. But, you know, I guess it's maybe there is part of that in terms of the modern interpretation. The reason I don't want to get your two's opinion on it right this second, because I think that's what Craig wants to discuss as well. So thank you, Alan. Enjoy your morning, I guess, over there. In Perth, let's bring in Craig, who's a bit closer to home, in Stewarton. How's it going, Craig?
Yeah, not bad, how are you?
Right on cue, and we obviously can't really set this up because you were already hanging on the line anyway, so give us your thoughts on that red card. A couple of days on, you're still thinking about it.
I can't believe it was a red card, if I'm being brutally honest. I think VAR's been brought in to try and help the game. And I think it's absolutely hindering it. I think the referee called it right at first with the yellow card, and then when the referees are called over to these screens, it's only going to go one way. I've never seen a ref go over to a screen and then agree with the decision that he had originally done. I just think I'm not even asking for fairness, I'm just asking for consistency, because in the second half, pretty much a mirrored challenge was put in against Kyogo. The foot landed on the same part of the leg pretty much, and that went totally unchallenged at all, not even a booking from memory. And I just think it needs to be more consistent, and I think Mark was talking about it as well with the Rashford. I mean, I don't think that was a sending off either, and I just think that football's becoming a non-contact sport, and I just think VAR's playing a massive part on that.
Yeah, I mean, Craig's certainly right. You very rarely see them going to the monitor and sticking with. I think I have seen it. You know, I think they're not get one in the Partick Thistle Ross County playoff at the end of last season. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm not. It just
Thistle were robbed.
It's very
for the record. It's very Thistle fans.
I know you could have been a Premier League.
It's very
coach.
Rare anyway. Like the previous caller saying, and when you describe it like that, you know, there's not a lot to argue. Specifically the words that the caller used, you know, if the studs are up and it connects with the shin, but Craig's sort of got the other view on it. What did you two think?
I thought it was never a red card in a million years. And the studs up, well, I think you can quite clearly see that players are entitled to go for the ball. That sometimes means outstretching your leg. Now, if an opposition player comes in at force the other way and contacts the ball but kicks into him as well, that's got to be taken into context. And I think that's the problem, that when referees are called, the referee called it for what it was a yellow card, right? And he was right.
Because it is a bit reckless, clearly.
Just because of the pace at my head I was going at. But again, was it endangered the opponent? I don't believe it was. I believe that ball was there to be won, and it was missed time, but never a red card. But when the referees are being called over, I think Craig's got a point there, that they automatically have in their head, I've made a mistake, and the guys in the VR truck or studio must know better than me, because I've got loads going on around about me that I can't see clearly. But when they show them that still, of course it looks horrendous, but the referee has to take time then to take it into the full context of the tackle. And it's the same with the Rashford one as well, when you look at it, that of course it looks bad when you freeze it and you see somebody's leg going the other way or studs right into their shin. But how did it get to that point? So it has to be almost a few frames before. And I don't think referees are taking that into consideration. And I get that there's pressure on them because stoppages, they've been told to make things much quicker. But with big decisions like that, I would rather they take an extra 60 seconds to rewind the full clip and see the context rather than just go with the still image.
I think he's very unfortunate. I think I agree with Mark and a lot of his comments there. I think the still image doesn't look particularly great, but we've seen it a million times with still images. I thought the referee at the time when I was watching it, I thought he called it right. I thought, yeah, okay, yellow card, fine, let's play on, let's move from there. I think the reaction that came from the Atletico dugout put a lot of doubt in people's minds, let's not be kidded. And then obviously a referee gets called over. The still image, you're looking at and you're thinking, oh, it's going to definitely be a red card here. But in real play time, I thought Maeda was very unfortunate to get red.
Overall, though, oh, he's gone actually. Where's he away to? I was going to ask Craig overall, because look, that obviously makes life harder. Everyone knows that. I take it it's not a case of saying, oh well, unlucky Celtic, not much you can do, hard done by a red. There must be more to it than that.
I'll go out in fact to say that, look, you can say, was that a big change in the game? To get beat 6-0, it probably was. To go and try and get something out of the game, no, because I still believe 11v11. Atletico, remember, after 6 minutes they were one goal up. They're at home. Their home record's incredible. The players that they've got on the pitch are superb. So I thought it was a very uphill task for Celtic. They were one down, the decision get made, and credit to Brendan Rodgers, second half, he goes with two strikers up top. And I'm thinking, not many managers would go with that formation. And look, with the class that they've got, they're going to punish you. And I think Celtic were quite lucky to get out six, if I'm truthful here. But I think 11v11, would they get beat 6-0? Probably not. Would they win the game? Not for me.
You kind of use it as an excuse to lose six goals. I mean, I get that you're hindered by it, but there's got to be a better or stronger resilience here with 10 men. And what Daz touched on it, Celtic did play two up front for a large period when they were down to 10 men. And I was trying to work out why. Maybe to stop Atletico's back three getting on the ball and getting out, maybe forcing them to try and kick it long, but at this level, players will go into any area to outnumber you, and Celtic got outnumbered. So that, of course, they played open and they got picked off, and that's what happens at this level. But even with 10 men, surely you've got to put up a better fight. And I totally understand that they're playing against world class players. Some of the goals were fantastic, some that you'll pick holes in and say there's glaring holes there. But another real sore one for Brendan Rodgers, when it looked like he was taking them in the right direction in the Champions League.
Always leads to that soul searching as well about, you know, overall and where Celtic are and can they compete and what needs to be done and is enough money getting spent and all that sort of stuff. We've
Same
been here
questions.
Before.
Ah.
Is it ever going to go away or?
Never until Celtic actually progress at the group stages. But I don't agree with people that say that Celtic need to then go out and buy players at 15 and 20 million quid. And the reason I say that is because it's been done before. It's been done by Neil Lennon. It's been done twice when I was there. So it's no different. You know, so it's maybe been a bit more pragmatic. Maybe it has more just now style over substance, that the philosophy of people and nice football is fans want the full package rather than just being hard to beat sometimes. And I think the position that Celtic's always going to be at this competition is that they're not going to succeed when they go toe-to-toe and play nice, expansive football. They'll create loads of chances. They might score some nice goals, but they'll always get unpicked at the other side.
I've heard Celtic fans coming out in the last couple of days and saying, look, we don't belong at that level. You're at that level because it makes you a lot of money, first and foremost. It gives you good finances for a club. Now, whether they go and spend that, and Mark touched on points there, it's been done before. They're well off it just now. Now, you can go back to looking at the game last week. The first half, they were brilliant. Celtic are capable of doing that. But when they have to do it away from home, when they have to do it for 90 minutes, when they have to go and, you know, for instance, Lazio, when they've got that point there and then the lack of concentration and they get punished. So they're a bit off it just now for me. And it's, once again, it's back to drawing board. It's another learning curve. But the other night there, as I say, I left the studio. I gave my prediction. I didn't think Celtic would get in Spain. 1-0 after 6 minutes, you're up against it. Maeda goes off. You're behind the black ball. You've no chance.
01419511025 to share your thoughts, and we'll get the Rangers team next. Clyde One. What a week it has been on Make Me a Winner. You've been tuned in.
Yeah, honestly,
I must admit, last night I think there was a few bits of dust flying about the studio, flying about the country. We were tearing the eye, perhaps. It went to voicemail last time out though, which means it's a rollover, and we could make you the winner of £110,000 tomorrow. But you need to be in the draw. We've teamed up with our stations across the UK to bring you this incredible amount. So text YES to 61025. £2 to text, plus your standard network rate. You can enter at Clyde1.com. Online entries, £2. Or call 0330 880 4523. And the calls are charged at a standard rate as well. It's over 18s only. And the entries since Doogie won on Wednesday have rolled over. All the rules for this network competition are online. So if you get the call from us after 3 o'clock tomorrow, Friday the 10th, answer within 5 rings, say Make Me a Winner straight away, and £110,000 would be yours. Text YES to 61025.
41951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here, and it's that time on a big European night when we get breaking team news. So Rangers fans, listen carefully and let us know what you make of this team, as brought to you by Andrew McLean.
Yeah, well, just one change from the weekend. Leon Balogun, of course, not in the European squad. He drops out completely, and it is Ben Davies that comes in. So Jack Butland in goal for Rangers tonight. The back four, James Tavernier, Connor Goldson, Ben Davies and Borna Barisic. The two holding midfielders, Ryan Jack and John Lundstrom. The three in behind the striker, Todd Cantwell, Sam Lammers and Abdallah Sima. And Danilo keeps his place up top. The substitutes for Rangers tonight, McCrory, Wright, Dessers, Lawrence, Cifuentes, Sterling, Roof, King, Devine and McCausland. I did talk about the fact that Sparta Prague's top goal scorer, Lucas Haraslin, is back fit, but he only makes the bench for them tonight.
Interesting selection, not much to debate in terms of changes clearly. So Graham, who's a Rangers fan on the line, happy enough with that? Graham, is that what you would have gone for?
Make me a winner.
Listen, you can never be over prepared. You never know the moment. I wish we had that power. Unfortunately not. We give away sign balls, priceless prizes on this show. What are you thinking about the team then? Happy enough?
Yeah, I think the team picks itself, to be honest with you. I think we all knew Davis would come in because obviously the Halligan's not in the squad. The team picks itself for sure tonight.
Yeah, I mean, the injury to Scott Wright has maybe robbed us of a good debate. I know that's probably not the priority when we're talking about Scott Wright's injury, but from our selfish standpoint, I think that would have been interesting. He's not available. We said McCausland coming in to start a game like this, probably a stretch. So therefore maybe it does pick itself.
100% it picks itself.
Would it have picked itself if Scott Wright was fit?
No, because I would have fancied Scott Wright to get a starting place tonight in the place of Lammers or Cantwell. I think that would have been the talking point. I think Scott Wright come on and at the weekend and just gave Rangers something different, a bit of energy, bit of width, bit of driving with the ball. And I thought he was terrific, I've got to say. So I think looking at that team tonight, he would have probably started in it. But it's up to Cantwell and Lammers now, because when you sit in a dressing room, Gordon's a player, you know one or two that you're up against. Now, Cantwell and Lammers would have probably been thinking, if Scott Wright was fit tonight, it was either me or you that was getting left out. So it's up to them to go and prove the manager, look, I was right to get picked in the starting lineup against Hearts. I'm right to get picked tonight. I'm going to show you. Now, it'd be interesting if Cantwell gets booked in the first half while he gets up again.
I think it's quite easy to see that Cantwell maybe isn't the cup of tea that he was under Michael Beale. Because remember the Hearts game where Rangers were really struggling? He keeps Lammers on and he takes Cantwell off. And I think if Wright was fit, that it would have been Cantwell. It would have made way. Even though, again, I'll say it, I've not quite seen it from Lammers, apart from that one goal at Dens Park. But Clement obviously sees something in there. So that's right, it's a big night for both of them. But Lammers has, I think, got to start repaying his manager as well. You know, with a big performance, if he's the one in behind Danilo, he's in there to create and make things happen. and I'm not too sure he does either of that at the minute. So big night for both of them, but Scott Wright, big miss.
It feels like everyone from a Rangers persuasion has been impressed by the new manager Graham. No reason to not be at this stage. So how important is now this switch back into European competition for his early signs of what he can do?
Yeah, it'll be good to see what kind of reaction he gets at home for his first European game. My call was actually about Clement, and I actually wanted to hear from Mark on this, from a player's perspective. You know, they always talk about the new manager bounce and the effect that it can have. I was always wondering what it was like from a player's perspective. I'm assuming that Mark, you've been in teams that have changed manager mid-season. Do you find that you do get an extra 10-15% in your legs to try and impress? And the fact that Clement said at the beginning, you know, everybody's getting a clean slate, so we're seeing people like Scott Wright, who was treated pretty badly by the club in the summer. You know, he was sent off to Turkey to some second division team and stuff very publicly. You know, the fact that he's given him a clean slate, does a new manager give you extra in your legs and training and things?
Without doubt, and it's hard to explain. Probably the way I would explain it, it's the same as any employment. A new boss comes in, if you are playing in the team or you're doing a steady job, then you want him to believe that you're able to continue that. But if you're frozen out, it's a chance for you to revive your career. And I don't think any one of the Rangers players would actively seek to leave Rangers just because they didn't like the club or they didn't settle in Glasgow. They want to play for Rangers because it's a big club. But obviously, if you're not playing football, you're unhappy with how the previous manager treats you, then it's going to affect your performances. A new guy comes in and he tells you...
What about guys that aren't, though, unhappy or aren't frozen out of the team? Because, you know, if everybody... And we'd probably need 10 hours with sports psychologists to get to the bottom of the cliche that is the new manager bounce. But,
yeah,
you know, any of that stuff, does that not suggest that you sort of weren't trying previously? You know,
I don't think it's about trying. Probably... Maybe you need a different voice to inspire you. Maybe you need just somebody to give you a different idea on things, a different outlook on things. Maybe you need things simplified, like someone said earlier, that Clement's came in and it's not overcomplicated. Mm-hmm. You would need to ask those players. Interesting to see that. The players are all hooked up to GPS now. It's interesting, the sports scientists, oh no, did the Rangers players actually run more in training sessions than they did under Beal? That's quite easy to compare.
Yeah. James Tavernier revealed that the distances have been put up.
So there you go.
The training could be different. They could do different distances in training. You know, Michael Beal could look at short-sided games, you know, with quick tempo and passing and putting under pressure. Clement could look at further, you know, bigger pitches to go and get more running stats in as well. So right now, I wouldn't be looking really into that. I do believe that as a player, I think the ones that benefit most is the guys that are look like they've no future. Mm. You know, Scott Wright, as the caller quite rightly says, he was going to Turkey. You know, whether teeth or hair, I don't know, but he was certainly...
Maybe both.
He's
got a nice hairline, he'll be fine.
But he was certainly out the picture, and Mark's already says tonight, it's a big blow, so he's become an important player. Mm.
Yeah, if any Partick Thistle under-18s players want to phone in about the new manager bounce, you can do. Thank you to Graham Brody, is from Tory Glen. How's it going, Brody?
Not bad, how are you doing, panel?
All good here, confident tonight?
Confident. Well, thank God that you're, for the Steven Gerrard's cone man's out the door, so a bit more confident he's out the door to be honest.
Oh, wow.
I think you should take, see my man in the Dessers and the Rammers, we need to get a game for Rodigan and Jen Kearney, we need to get a game for Partick Thistle, so they're still in the building. And I'm a Rangers supporter before for the last 30 years, and I would say it's kind of the worst squad he's brought into Le Glen's carry on. Honest to God, so I don't know how some of them are still in the building. He should be down to the reserves and bring on the young boys in, even for like the 18s, like Mark's party, first was 18s. Have a gear in my shot before they bounce in the roof. You know? And that's my opinion, and everybody's got an opinion, but generally, they wouldn't even get a game for rather than getting Glenn Cairnhoff from, you know what I mean, mate?
Yep. I mean, we've had some good nicknames on this show. Remember Laptop Boy and iPad Man? Yeah. You don't hear much about him anymore. Steven Gerrard's Cone Man. It's not a great name for a superhero, is it?
No.
That's what Michael Beale's been reduced to.
It's amazing how things turn. We used to hear when Michael Beale came into Rangers at the beginning how brilliant a coach and everything. I've not heard any Rangers supporting saying a good word about him now. Mm. He's forgotten about, but that's the nature of football. Look, it's up to the... I think the new man's Clement has come in, and I think he's taking his time. I think he's got a tune out of one or two. Danilo looks like he's starting to look at that player that he was brought in, and I voted that he was going to be player of the season. Yeah, he's starting to gain momentum. Right,
you could say that Steven Gerrard's cone man was without him really fit for a period, certainly, no?
Yeah, but I know
there were opportunities to play him that he didn't. I do get that, but certainly in the last, he could have been doing with him in the last couple of weeks where it got critical for him.
Probably, yeah.
And he brought in Raskin. Raskin has been a decent signing. Can't well up until probably the last month or so. I know he's had one or two niggly injuries, but at the beginning, every Rangers fan was delighted with his contribution. Of course, Dessers and Lammers, and they've still a bit to prove. But I said earlier tonight in the show, I'm looking forward to seeing what this new manager brings in signing-wise in January.
You must be feeling optimistic going forward, though, Brodie, or are some of the players still concerning you?
Sure, I don't doubt, but like I say, I would like to see half of the squad to bring in January. I know it's hard to change the squad in January. Obviously, you're trying to compete with Celtic, who's the best team in the country for years, but in Europe, obviously, they can't kick the backside, you know what I mean? But we're still miles behind Celtic at this stage, but I would imagine, obviously, they did a big revamp again, and then that's going to take probably another 18 months before maybe challenge again. So, it's challenging for the League Cup. It's not acceptable. It should be challenging for the League, you know what I mean, mate? So, right, I see half of them get a game for Dorigan, Glenn Kearn, or Peter Sull Jr. when they get a game, never mind for the Glasgow Rangers, you know what I mean, mate?
Well, it seems like a good time to play Beat the Pundit. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Right, it is Beat the Pundit time on 01419511025. The lines close at 7. Give us a call. Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Mark Wilson, Gordon DL, both here, both waiting for you to get in touch. It is a busy night, it's a busy week. I say it every night because it always is. Scottish football, never a dull day. We're looking ahead to Rangers against Sparta Prague, so keep the calls coming. What do you make of the team? How do you see it going tonight? We're going through Palk against Aberdeen. It's 1-1 after 62 and a half minutes. Still be reflecting on Celtic's defeat in Madrid. We're going to hear from Alistair Johnson in the not too distant future. Anything else out there? What about St Mirren Hibs fans last night? Where are you? What did you make of it? Nick Montgomery doesn't win many games of football. It seems very up and down, even within the 90 minutes. But, still getting points on the board. St Mirren fans, how did you feel about last night as well? 0141 951 1025. Before we get to any of that, let's play this. Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football. Right, it is Beat the Pundit time. I can't remember the record this week. I feel like it's been a bit of a mixed bag.
Tell him where he is on the table. Come on. Tell him I've been waiting for it for a long time.
Going to assume I'm bottom.
Yeah, we discovered on Tuesday that you are indeed bottom.
40%.
40%?
Yeah.
Okay.
43% win rate for you. And you have been grannied as well, which gives you extra points.
You know what? It's
off.
Been disappointing, but I can only look up, I can only turn it around and.
I'm up there in the 80s.
73% for you.
73%?
That's good.
Yeah.
Simon lost on Wednesday, Tuesday, that's what it was. You were alongside him. And he blamed you. He said your facial expressions were.
Simon won on Tuesday. Did he not? Or did you get beaten the tiebreak? No, a tiebreaker, the boy got it spot on.
Right, I can't believe I've noticed this on the screen rather than the fact I'm sitting next to you. Are you now wearing Partick Thistle?
I'm a jag.
Clothing.
What?
I'm a jag. See how quickly I rub off on people. We've now got a new supporter. He's got the boggy warmer on.
I've got another Geely.
So not content with his free Toyota Geely, you've now scrimped off Mark Wilson during the break.
I've got a great story I'm going to tell you.
It is freezing in here, isn't it?
Somebody reminded me again today, Graham guy at the club that you used to play for Thistle. And
we try not to mention that.
I learned something new about Thistle. The day I try to learn something new. You know, there's an elephant. Buried under the ground.
Yes. What? Nelly.
Did you?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't called Nelly.
That was a nickname they always used to say. Oh, go and see Nelly.
Nonsense. Right, I believe you. I don't believe you're part of that.
I knew that.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
Apparently they tell everybody that joins the club.
Tell me more, because I didn't know that.
It's an elephant buried. So under the.
Is that it?
That. Didn't get much content. No, listen, way back in 19 whatever.
No way. You've been stitched up.
No, no chance. You've been stitched. There was a travelling circus called Buffalo's Bill's Travelling Circus.
No. Do you know what this is?
Oh, he's fell for that. Honestly, I bet they're all sitting.
Google that. This is like it was an old mine.
No, and then this can't be true. Do you know what this is?
The guy looked serious when he told me. See if I find it, you've wound me up.
Did you seriously believe that?
That there's an elephant under there.
This is like tartan paint, long stand on work experience, all that.
Did you get told that when you joined the show?
No! There's no an elephant in there. Honestly.
Maybe
I
have
been. Cannot believe it.
If there's any Partick Thistle fans out there that can verify Buffalo Bill's travelling circus,
do you know what's
and the elephant.
Mad about that.
Is I'd like, be impressed
if
that was
they've
happened.
All sat there and thought,
what will we tell him?
Bet we can get him to repeat this on the radio.
Will you sit and go, seriously? What end?
Hold on.
I swear to God, see if you stitch me up.
Is it the way end?
Is there something on it?
18 yard box.
Googles, was there an elephant buried at Fir Hill?
Come on, tell me I'm right.
This may sound ludicrous. Seemingly there is a story. It's just a story again. Buffalo Bill, as you say.
There you are!
They reckon it may have been buried about the 1900s, possibly before Fir Hill was even built.
I didn't even for once say that they dug up the centre circle and put the elephant in. It was buried before it. There you go.
It wasn't like Kingsley that did it or anything.
No.
He's got one ear down one wing, one ear and a big trunk up the middle.
There you go. So there's just a bit of trivia for you.
We're hitting into the elephant end.
And just Aberdeen 2-1 down. But the elephant story is much more gripping than that.
Aberdeen 1, unfortunately.
I'll be using that.
Listen, if you think you're off the hook tonight, you are not. Mark Wilson and I have got serious questions to ask about your whereabouts last night, but we'll get there. Let's play Beat the Pundit first with Jay in Uddingston. How's it going, Jay?
Hi, good. How are you doing, lads?
Good. Rangers fan, Jay, are you got high hopes for the game tonight?
Confident, always.
Good on you. Are you going to the game or are you just going to watch it in the house?
No, I'm excited just now, when they win.
He's on a 56 seater, he's got a chance tonight.
I'll be in car parks listening in.
How many's your car, Jay?
Just the two A's.
Here we go.
Who are you with?
Team effort, right, boys? A team effort.
Good. Right, let's see if we can get
Mark and I should double up then.
No chance. Thanks. Anybody else who's round about Ibrox and is listening to this, just start beeping your horn right now. And then Jay and he's.
I hear somebody.
It works. And then they'll know the
swear words.
What kind of car are you in sitting in, Jay?
Don't tell them that. They've got the support from the car park, see? Anyway,
two against one, that's no fair.
30 seconds on the clock, but we need to find out who you're playing first. Heads, it's Mark. Tails, it's Gordon. And it is heads, Mark Wilson.
Come on, Jane, your mate.
The elephant man.
The elephant man. I think we should be calling that.
Let's give Mark some greatest hits radio to listen to. Jay, 30 seconds, answer as many as you can, and just pass if you don't know and move on, okay?
Okay.
Brilliant. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Which Scottish Premiership club's got a castle on their badge?
Edinburgh City.
Who scored St Mirren's penalty last night?
Pass.
Who's the only member of the Rangers team with a cap for England?
Scotland.
How many English Premier League titles has Joe Hart won?
Three.
True or false, a world record for the fastest hat-trick is held by a Scotsman?
False.
What Scottish team are referred to as the Dark Blues?
Mayflowers.
They were arguing. They were debating it between the two of them. Let's bring that back.
If they can't beat him with that. Saying that, they're easy.
Very good.
Might me help you?
No.
Do you think they've done enough to beat Mark before you've even heard Mark's answers?
I only hear you. I don't hear the answers.
Oh, right, okay.
Right, so I don't know how Dumber and Dumber's done in the Copeland
Rich
Road.
What a goal.
Rich, coming from you two. Aberdeen are level. I didn't even see it, but I'll just pretend it was a great
McGrath,
goal.
I think.
The celebrations are suggesting it was a good goal, but they've got 20 minutes left to try and hang on or even build on that. So, right, 30 seconds on the clock. Mark, your time starts now. Which Scottish Premiership club has a castle on their badge?
Hearts.
Who scored St Mirren's penalty last night?
O'Hara.
Who's the only member of the Rangers team with a cap for England?
Golton.
How many English Premier League titles has Joe Hart won?
One.
True or false, the world record for the fastest hat-trick is held by a Scotsman?
True.
What Scottish team are referred to as the Dark Blues?
Dundee.
Who was the Motherwell manager prior to Stuart Kettlewell?
Stevie Ham.
Jay, what do you think?
You done it.
Oh,
no. Oh! Yes. I told you they two.
I see where you were going with this, but the Scottish and they two said Edinburgh City, not even in the Premiership. But again, I got to get me on.
Stirling. Panic. Stirling must be Stirling.
Are they in the Premiership?
Or was it a Premiership?
Thank goodness. To be fair,
I went with Hearts as well.
It's Hibs.
Yeah,
you can't. None of you. They do, right? Doesn't matter.
They come from Edinburgh. It's got a big castle in it.
Hearts are nearer.
St Mirren's penalty was scored by Mark O'Hara, so 1-0 to Mark Wilson. However, Conor Goldson with an England cap. Jack Butland. Equaliser for Jay in the car. Beep the horn again outside Ibrox. Give him some support.
That's a good game, that. I like
how
that.
Easily amused are we?
I know.
That's
quite
three good.
Absolute infants.
No, but how bad do they go? I'll beep.
No, I like it. Joe Hart's won 2 English Premier League titles. None of you got it. True or false, the world record for the fastest ever hat trick is held by Tommy Ross of Ross County way back in 1964.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember.
Before the elephant was
3 goals in 90 seconds, apparently.
Good work. Did Mark Wilson get that?
No.
Yes.
Mark Wilson goes 1 in front. Dark Blues is Dundee.
Oh, yes.
Mark Wilson got it and he got Stevie Hamill. It was a 4-1 win in the end. Hard lines,
Jay. Two numpties only get one.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Lucky Jay.
Aye.
He's the blue.
Oh, and they were arguing though.
Were they?
Well, the last one, the spokesman, Jay, said Wraith, but his pal in the background was going Dundee. They couldn't agree on the answer, so the strategy was all wrong. Hardlines, guys, thanks for taking part.
Hey, all the best.
Enjoy your
cheers,
night.
Jay.
One last beep of the horn. See them on their way. Thank you very much.
Right.
Honestly,
that's never good. It's the same person. They must be sitting next to him.
0141951.
Well done, Mark.
Thanks. Percentage up.
5.
That's that.
Great free kick.
Little by little.
Great free kick, Jamie McGrath.
Brilliant.
Happy with that.
Laces through it, bit of dip on it into the bottom corner. Brilliant strike, and got to say Aberdeen needed it because they're really up against it. This side's a decent side, going forward especially a decent side, but they leave gaps at the back and Aberdeen exploited it. Over the two games they've exploited it, but they can certainly score goals. Aberdeen under a wee bit of pressure, corner to face, but great hit from McGrath.
Yes, 0141951105. That's the number you need. Keep your calls coming in, whether it's on Rangers tonight, Aberdeen tonight, Celtic a couple of nights ago, St Mirren and Hibs last night, anything else, please do get your thoughts over to us. You can pick up the phones right now and let us know what's happening there. What is it, 73 gone over there in Greece? So still a bit of time. It's going to be a tough end, Gordon. You look at what happened last week.
Was it offside?
That's the type of cutting edge analysis.
Well, I don't know. The referee's pointing somewhere. It's a penalty kick.
No way. He gave a penalty.
I think he's given a penalty kick.
You know what's funny is.
It's very good.
I actually think.
Great analysis from you.
Yeah, I think this ref has been terrible all night, actually.
No.
And do you know what? He might get saved by an offside anyway. Oh my god, that's so
it's one of the worst decisions you'll ever see. I mean, he's
thinking far.
There's daylight in between McGrath and the player. So, listen, this will get overturned.
I get it. I say it all the time, and I don't see if our refs make mistakes. Phone in here, call them out. I don't mind that. I think that's important. But we are banned, officially banned, from thinking that refs in other leagues are any better. Every time I watch a European or an international game at the moment,
you know, thinking situations like this, the guy should just say in his ear, there's no need for you to come and check. It's not a penalty. Don't even bother coming to the monitor to look.
Hold on a minute. Come on, son.
See if we.
I'd take his badge off him right now.
I know Willie Collum and John Beaton and their pals make some bad decisions. See if one of our refs made that.
We'd need a
15-hour show.
Yeah.
That's how bad that is.
Yeah.
For anyone who thinks we're exactly.
He's actually still standing there thinking that's the right decision.
Somebody surely has
told him in his ear, listen, we're going to downgrade you.
What frustrates fans.
You know what, but this is the thing though, like I've explained this before, they'll also check the offside and stuff like that as well. And to be fair, if they're doing it in the right order, I would have thought they would just check the penalty first. I'm not entirely sure on that, but they'll check a couple of different things. Because like I said, it's, even if they think that's a foul, I think he's possibly offside.
He's offside anyway. Yeah.
No, but so you're checking more than one thing, though, is what I'm saying.
I think you're right, Gordon. For it being a penalty, surely they check the penalty first, then they have to go in reverse order for a situation.
I think they're checking the referee's qualifications, if I'm honest.
So he is onside, then, presumably. Yeah, he'll be onside.
Or they've told him you need to go home.
He's running off.
He's up the road. He's got a taxi waiting for him.
You wonder what he's going to feel when he sees this. We all make mistakes, but
we all see the minute they go to screen. It's given.
Imagine he's stuck with this.
But it's bad. The assistant referee is on this side, so he can see daylight between McGrath and the attacker. Surely he should be saying right away.
So bad.
No, it's not penalty.
And of course, you don't give out.
Freeze frame.
Freeze frame. Stonewaller.
They're showing him a freeze frame with the Pulp player lying on the ground. So I don't know what that's going to achieve.
Then the worst angle of all time.
Do you know what, though? That's a dive. But you, of course, you don't get. VAR doesn't give out bookings. So he's not going to get booked for diving. But that's a dive. There we are. No penalty. Yeah, there is some justice.
He's dead. Well done.
In the world.
He's worked that one out for himself.
It's a foul by the attacking player because he dived. Is that why he's gave a foul here?
Yeah, I would say that must be it. Wow, that's such a bad decision. Luckily, VAR was there to let Aberdeen off the hook. Scott's a Celtic fan. Scott, what are you thinking tonight?
Shoot me. Like, the last 2 days, they actually come back down half the ceiling watching Celtic and Tuesday night. I was absolutely shocked, stunned, and just the way Brendan Rodgers set the team up. I'm not Brendan's greatest fan. I was on here complaining about his subs the other week, or lack of using our players. Tuesday night, you're playing against one of the best teams in La Liga. Don't lose a lot of goals, and they've been scoring a lot of goals lately. So what does Brendan do? Brendan's idea is put in a guy that's played 3 starts for us against that team. And his quote was, he needed a tackler in there. Well, he's got a guy in there that's got a lot more experience, maybe not European level, but in playing level in a WATA, and won't play him. We went 1-0 down after 5 minutes. Mark and Gordon, tell me if I'm wrong here. What's the last thing you say to your team is you walk out the door, you're going to play a team that's better than you? Keep it tight for the first 20 minutes. Agreed? We didn't even last 5.
But surely, Scott, you can appreciate that can happen at this level when you're playing against Griezmann and guys like that, that a goal like that can happen. Early in the game, it doesn't matter if it's 20 minutes or 5 minutes.
It's all right saying, Scott, to keep it tight, but actually doing it's a different thing, isn't it?
Well, how can I say? I just think he set the team up wrong. Even his subs, see when we went down to 10 men, why did he not bring on the big boy Phillips and play him at the centre-half and go with 3 centre-halves and 5 middle of the park? Because that's what he done in the last game, in the last, I think it was the last 25 minutes or so, when he brought players on, he swaffled it around about. We were all going, oh, he's took big Cameron, lad, why is he doing that? And you could see he was going to 3 to back. He's subs as well. He brought on 2 young boys. He brought on O, and then he brought on... who's the other one? He brought on O, and O, Home. Home's hardly started a game as well. It was as if he just chopped it. And it was just like, let's dig any sub out and we'll just throw anybody on. Because I can't make him tell it. Why his selection was, and why didn't he go to 3 to back and give a chance to middle of the park? I don't get it. I really don't.
Excuse me. I've got to say, I'm not going to sit here and tell Brendan Rodgers how to set up.
Why? That's why you're here.
But what I will say is, I was very surprised, away from home, 1-0 down to 10 men, especially second half, because they lose that goal right on half time. 2-0 down, you're thinking, right, okay, this could be a sore one. And he goes with 2 up top. That's okay. When you do that at Livingston, and I'm not being disrespectful against Livingston, but he had Maeda and up top as well, with plenty of work power. Unfortunately, he was off. But to go away from home against a quality side, 2-0 down, stick with your 2 up top, I was very surprised with that, I've got to say.
Look, I think you lose 6-0. I can't say that you're wrong, but just as a counter, do we need to get away from this automatic assumption that sort of all you need to do is
No, he could have lost six way playing Phillips at the back.
It's sort of sit back, or and it's been quite the week for it, hasn't it? You know, Ange gambled on it and it didn't work in the end, but it almost did, and that sort of thing. It just do Celtic have the personnel to do it differently, Mark, do you think?
You could argue to play more defensively, possibly. But I mean, it would be taking guys from almost in the cold and putting them into an environment like that, so maybe you get the same outcome.
Because it's also not like, I know positionally, right, you can talk about strikers and whatever, but it's not like Celtic in the second half had all these big attacks and then were picked off. You know, it's not like they were throwing caution to the wind and left all this space because they were attacking so much.
The problem, you're totally right. Yeah, it's not as if the team was stretched between both penalty areas. The gaps were in between the back four and the midfield three that were already there. So there's an argument for plugging gaps, but who's to say that wouldn't have ended that way and Brendan Rodgers gets slaughtered for going to a more defensive...
I don't know. But I don't know if he went with the two, Mark, to try and get an out ball and get up the pitch. Right, you could argue with that point. He looked at the situation. I do agree. I think at the end he knew the ball was burst, and he started putting on players to get game time and work away to it and give them a bit of minutes in the legs. I don't think there was any doubt in that, and I don't see a lot wrong with that. But I still get back to it. You can look at this 10 man. I still believed it.
You can just do more.
Yeah.
Just quickly, what about that midfield conundrum, if you like? Because it did feel like there wasn't an obvious contender, because people would say, well, you just, if this is a domestic game, or David Turnbull has to play, you're looking at his performances recently in scoring the goals. Understandably, up to a point, people say, well, maybe you're looking for more off the ball, and Bernardo came back in last week, but you know he didn't perform well domestically in between times. We've not seen a lot at home. Scott raises a Wattock, you know, came on at Tynecastle and scored, barely seen since. Well, they're struggling to find a solution for that Hatate one.
Yeah, I think so. Awata's far down the pecking order in recent games, will tell you that. So it is a toss-up between Turnbull, Bernardo and Holmes on the periphery just now. A lot of Celtic fans would like to see more of Holmes. I've not seen enough to really judge him. For me, it's between Bernardo and Turnbull. And if you're starting with off the ball stuff, I don't think I don't think there's a lot between them off the ball. So then I have to go on the ball. Who gives you the most on the ball? For me, it's clear that Turnbull gives you more on the ball. Brendan Rodgers, I've said that last week, he sees him every day in training, so he must see a real difference off the ball.
So what you do think Bernardo's better off the ball, but just not like enough that it becomes this big drastic
for me,
thing.
Yeah, but again, Brendan Rodgers sees him face value in training and sees the work rate. Mm. He'll have the stats to back it up. I don't see it. He obviously does.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there because we'll get a full-time teaser coming up and more of your calls next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Listen and watch. Check the Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel here. 87 gone in Greece. Palk 2, Aberdeen 2. Barry Robson's side hanging on. But if the last meeting between these sides is anything to go by, what the score is at 87 minutes is not entirely relevant to the end outcome, so we'll see. Building up to kick off at Ibrox as well, looking back on Celtic, various things happening. Let's give you two a question here.
The full-time teaser with Sliding Wardrobe Solutions East Kilbride. Slat wall panels available in 7 colours. Now in stock at East Kilbride at competitive prices.
It's a really good question, this, right? Genuinely, the person that sent it in, you know, it's like an email thing. Mm. It's coming from an account which says it's Gordon DL's unusually long nose. Like, genuinely, that's the name
of their account.
Why would they name it that?
I have no idea.
And I'm deadly serious as well. And it's a cracking question, but because you two are a bit daft and we're short on time, I'll give you the simplistic version of it.
Yeah.
Can you name the last 4 Old Firm players to score 2 or more in a European game? So we're looking for a Scottish team. So for the Old Firm, sorry. Can you name the last 4 Old Firm players to score 2 or more in a European match?
Hmm.
Sakala?
No.
Oh, unlucky.
Well, I don't like the silence.
Barry Robson?
No. Like way more recently than that.
Yeah. Okay, sorry.
Well, Kent.
I thought that would be a good shout, but it's not.
Morelos.
Yes.
Got to be in there, isn't it?
Against Sparta Prague. Look at that. 2021. Okay.
Come on.
A lot of mms.
Yeah.
Not enough answers. Just
obvious one, maybe.
Kyogo?
No, a bit like, no.
Edward?
No. Let's not necessarily worry about where this guy plays on the pitch, because that's not always linked to your likelihood of scoring goals, is it?
Tavernier?
Yes, James Tavernier against Braga in 2022. Okay, we'll get the other two hopefully before the end. Thanks to Gordon DL's unusually long nose for sending it into full time at Clyde1.com. Speaking of Gordon DL's unusually long nose, what a response on your Instagram last night.
Why?
Me and Mark Wilson were texting each other at 11 o'clock at night. Why? Last night, just to discuss you. Because you know you're such a strange character.
Yeah, I am.
So it makes a nice refreshing change on your Instagram. Usually it's you with a driver in your hand standing on the golf course. So you've mixed it up. You've done the unthinkable. You've gone to a game of football last night, right? Mm-hmm. You've gone to St Mirren against Hibs. Not that, but I mean, that
nearly
is
nearly 6,000. Good crowd.
That is unremarkable for you because you don't go to games of football, right?
Yeah.
So you've gone. Mm-hmm. Then there's the picture, right? Which is like the most awkward looking picture of all time. You look, in fact, can the camera see this? Can we zoom in?
I think that's classic. You've got a message, yeah, there, won't you?
Can we zoom in?
When are you coming home?
On my phone. It's Gordon DL. It looks like he's been photoshopped at the Smyza Stadium. The most awkward pose. He's also dressed like he's come from a funeral.
What do you mean a funeral?
I've got a shirt and tie on and a black jacket.
I couldn't believe.
Why did you get a shirt and tie on?
When this was brought to my attention, why are you going to a football match with a shirt and tie on?
If I told you a story, you wouldn't believe me. I was actually out in town. Right.
In a shirt and tie on a Wednesday afternoon.
It's a traditional Christmas thing I do.
It's the 9th of November.
Yeah, I like to get my shirt in early. I decided I had an early bath. I decided I was a bit bored, so I'll get myself dressed, went down to the library, get the X11 bus. Right, anybody
that sounds absolute nonsense. But anyway,
with your shirt and tie on,
didn't know where to sit.
Also,
front and
is
back.
Is that a New Balance jacket you've got on?
Yeah, is that a New Balance jacket?
Is that a New Balance jacket with a shirt and tie on?
No.
I was more interested in the New Balance. No. I zoomed in.
I've tried to zoom in here just to see.
There's definitely a
look
MD.
At his face. He looks startled.
There's a terrific story about that. I can't disclose it.
Do you know what though? Right, the best thing about it is actually the replies, because it makes me realise that see everything we say on this show, even just a little nonsense throwaway jokes that the three of us have.
Good. I've got a lot of good positive feedback.
People remember everything. See the amount of like little super scoreboard jokes or like in jokes in the comments. Remarkable, right? So like straight through, people have obviously got you down. You know, lots of people saying like nice freebie. OMG says seize the laptop in reference to your laptop.
Yeah, okay.
Trisha Mack, what car garage did you get that jacket from?
It's not from a car garage.
But the
Geely.
Like the Geely that you wore the Toyota one last week. Gary, shirt and tie on, made his way up the M8, because you always like talking about
roads
to stadium.
Yeah, but it was the 74.
And on bath night, no less.
I explained the bath.
So people are always... It just shows you that they're clearly listening. Si McLeod says, is the dodgy stick not working the night?
I've not got a dodgy stick.
Ryan, I've never seen anyone look more uncomfortable at a football match.
I agree with that one.
Very true.
I was very
cold. Why would you have a shirt and tie on? I mean, a shirt and tie is one of the most uncomfortable things you can wear. Never mind going to a...
Even nowadays,
a game.
Just not required.
It's a tradition I do every year. You boys don't know this about me. I get dressed up. I put a shirt and tie on, I get in town, I sort of like about do my Christmas show.
Where do you go?
Oh, everywhere. Buchanan Street, Suckingham Street, left, right.
Into the horseshoe bar, just with your shirt and tie on.
The karaoke.
The Notster says, now you're going to memorise the capacity to mention for the next 3 months, like you did when you went to Easter Road for the reverse fixture.
That's right. Why did you go? Season. Why have you been to the...
Just loves Hibs and
stuff. Well, you think about it, last two games I've been to, 9 goals. 9.
Right.
Okay, I missed one last night. I left early again.
I knew you would have missed it.
I missed the equaliser.
Because obviously, to anyone with any sense, knows that the Christmas shopping story is a lie. So
the thought of you,
I mean, you've obviously been invited in some sort of capacity because you certainly wouldn't pay. So it's the thought of that. then you thinking, right, I'm not impressed here. Wear my ties.
Did you have a suit jacket on under that black jacket as well? Yeah. See, that's even uncomfortable. Putting a jacket on top of a suit jacket is uncomfortable.
The comments I got last night, I was looking really
It's just the thought. I take it the next. It's him in the mirror in the flat. Right, the dad's like, come on, you need to impress tonight. You've been invited to the St Mirren game. Let me dig out my tie collection for 1999.
Air United tie.
Do you know what it is?
Well, it would be black and white, so it would fit in.
By the way, on top of that, I had a jumper on as well, right? A V-neck, and the tie was up to about there. No, the big net, the big.
Oh my god, that's disgusting.
It's a tie.
Oh, get me.
Anyway, I'm really sorry about that.
Reform you.
It was a good game. Good game.
I'm very sorry about that, Robert and Scotstoun. That went on way too long. What's your point tonight?
Hi, good evening, panel. Good evening, guys.
Hello, how are you?
My problem is, why do Celtic get so much slack thrown at them regarding Europe? I know they were terrible the other night. I mean, I'm mad about it. But at the same time, they're playing world champions. Look at Man United, bottom of their group. Newcastle, bottom of their group. There's not a word said. How much money have they got coming in?
I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty sure they'll be saying it down there. I mean, Man United are getting a fair bit of negativity. It's just natural that with us being up here, we don't care too much and just kind of looking after our own. I mean, does that make you feel any better about it then that Man United are a mess? I don't know. What does that change?
It gives me a wee bit more satisfaction that we're not that bad considering we've got pennies compared to their millions.
I think the flip side of that is though when Feyenoord are in Celtic's group and seem to be progressing nicely, and then if you look at Copenhagen who beat Man United
and Shakhtar beat Barcelona,
then you get an idea of, you know, fans' frustration. If they can do it, why can't Celtic?
Yes, well, to maybe flip it the other way, or maybe this is making the same point, I've kind of lost track. It would show you that money doesn't guarantee you anything, yeah. I guess. Mm-hmm. Take Newcastle as an example. Yeah, they've got loads of money, but maybe lacking that bit of Champions League experience.
And the group they're in. Bear in mind who they're up against in their group. It's probably the worst group you could be in.
But generally, Gordon, this notion that, you know, poor Celtic are getting too much criticism because there are other teams who are also struggling, I don't know. I mean, we're just here in Glasgow in the West, and that's just what it is. I don't think we should really be worrying about anyone else.
What doesn't help is the manner and the defeat, the amount of goals as well. You've got it. Look, it's the Celtic fans that are coming in and criticising. I've heard a few today talking about, you know, we shouldn't even be at that table. It's a bridge too far for us. But if you look at the financial situation, it's brilliant for Celtic as a club, making the money. It's brilliant for the supporters going along to Celtic Park or going the trips to over to Madrid to see the top teams. And you can only get better by, I know we keep saying it every year, playing in it and learning and trying to work your way through it and get better. And
sick of hearing that though, aren't they? Some Celtic fans, of course it is,
but what else do you do? Yeah. Would you rather not be in it? And the wealth that comes with it.
Robert, thanks. Sorry, it'll have to be short and sweet because I didn't realise we were so close to kick off Aberdeen. Surely that's it. Unless referee's not done much right, but surely he can blow the whistle. We're past the 7 minutes and he still hasn't. Maybe Aberdeen will snatch it here. Anyway, we'll go back to Ibrox for kickoff next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson are here. 17 minutes. 16, if you're keeping count, ahead of kickoff at Ibrox. We'll go back there and build up. You can still call. You can squeeze it in. It has finished. Well done to Aberdeen. A good point out there in Greece. It makes you wonder if they hadn't been on the receiving end of a truly, objectively horrendous penalty decision last game out, maybe that group could be it would be looking a bit more different for them. But there we are. They've taken a point tonight, and well done to them. 2-2 against Pauk over there in Greece. thanks to everyone who during the break, some more nice feedback for you on Instagram there about your appearance. No, just generally. And I think you should all take it as a compliment. It just strikes me as how much people take you to their hearts, that they remember everything you say, and that they're easy to bring up all these jokes and slag you about them. You know, I was in a local petrol station today. A gentleman called Zach was shouting across the forecourt, just desperate to be mentioned on the show with
Zach.
With you two. Just filling
up. You get free petrol for that day.
Well, I wish.
Oh, yeah.
If you're listening,
Zach.
Listen, you're the master of the freebie. See if you could secure a free tank of fuel. That'd be impressed with you.
Oh, I've been there.
That's when we're really talking.
I've been down that road.
What about this?
Literally.
What about this teaser? Can you name the last four Old Firm players to get two or more goals in a European game? You've got James Tavernier and Alfredo Morelos.
Gary Hooper?
No.
Forrest?
Nope.
I've just got
so much emphasis on this.
One is like a real left field effort.
How long ago?
Only 3 years ago. I think this does include qualifiers. I'm sure. Oh no, let me double check. Let me find out. Not that it'll make any difference to you two. Yeah, there was one of the Celtic ones. I'll give you a clue. One Celtic, one Rangers left. The Celtic one is a qualifier. I think the third qualifying round of the Europa League.
And how, Jota?
No.
How many years for the Rangers one?
Yeah, they're both quite recently. They're both 2021, right? So that's a big clue, because that takes your Gary Hoopers and all the rest of them well out of
the Aribo.
I should get it now.
No. Right, I'll give you some more thinking time. I'll give you some more thinking time if we can. Right, 01419511025. Impressive result that from Aberdeen, isn't it? You're happy with that? We've not had much to cheer in Europe this season.
Yeah, they will look at the home game. But I've got to say, I was impressed with Aberdeen tonight. I think they showed a lot of courage, a lot of commitment to come back, because they were under a bit of pressure at times. They were away from home. I think the fact that they're now in the first cup final, they've taken a lot of confidence from that. Duke starts tonight, I thought it was a terrific goal, I've got to say. So Barry Robson, he's in a good place. A couple of weeks ago he came under a little bit of criticism. The Aberdeen fans were slowly turning against him, but he's turned things around so far.
Yeah, great result for him. And particularly when you put it together, what Daz says, the semi-final, but down to 10 men as well. So in a good place at the minute. Some standout performances there. McGrath, excellent goal, and he can look forward to a cup final in the next European tie. But that's right, just go back a couple of hours last week to that home game and think they were robbed. Could have looked so much better for them.
A couple of sort of managerial coaching stories just quickly to update people with and get your thoughts on. The most recent one, whilst we've been on air tonight, Alloa have lost their manager, Brian Rice, because he's gone to be a first team coach at Livingston. It's quite an interesting one, that, isn't it? Because you get the logic, you know, it's back to the Premiership and so on. But, you leave a managerial position to go into a coaching staff. I always think that must be a hard balance. You guys have been there.
Yeah, Brian's been a number two. He was a number two to John Hughes for a long, long time. So he knows that role as well. He wanted to go out on his own. He's been a decent enough manager, Brian, but he's obviously just looked at it in the lure of the Premier League, going back to Livingston, probably maybe David Martindale looking for a little bit of experience in the dugout. They've taken a big slump, but they're in trouble so far. So that might just, a fresh voice in there, I think it'd be a good move from Livingston. But sometimes, as a number two, you go, oh, I've always wanted to go out and be the main man in charge. Brian's obviously, he's done that, but feels that best role's a number two now.
Would you take the assistant under-18s manager job at a Premiership club? That's the sort of logic we have to go down here.
Would I take the assistant
under-18s manager?
He'd take the caretaker. He'd dig up the elephant.
I would stay firmly in my role.
Give him a shovel in the park.
Yeah. Another interest.
But I can understand, Brian. Yeah. I can understand that logic, guy. Like Daz says, maybe, stepping up to the Premiership. I think the lure, Livingston, stable enough.
Yeah. I think Livy fans will be happy, won't they?
I think they will.
Maybe they need something in there.
Well, they need experience in there alongside David Martindale, and they've certainly got their man.
I'm not saying a move to Livingston isn't good, but see, if I was to pick the location of my next coaching job, do you know who's got it right? Robbie Nielsen. Tampa, Florida, if you don't mind. The Tampa Bay Rowdies. He is the new head coach there.
Nice. Good name in that team. I like that.
Listen, that's a good move on a number of levels, isn't it?
That's fantastic.
Well, quality of life from Gorgie to...
Sorry to the people of Gorgie.
No, they know where they are. So to St. Petersburg, Florida, amazing.
Get him showing off his Florida knowledge.
Oh, he knows. He knows the place inside it.
Yeah.
That's one thing. You ever going to Florida, you take this man with you.
Good to see Robbie Nielsen, though, back involved. You know, it's been a complex relationship, I think, with the Hearts fans.
Good guy, Robbie. I like Robbie. One of the good guys in football. Very knowledgeable. I was talking to him a few weeks ago, and I'm delighted for him to
please,
be back.
Please take me as your assistant, Robbie. I'll translate for you.
At the SAFA thing, sucking up to him. Robbie was one of the speakers. Robbie, that was really interesting. Love what you were America. Saying there. Where are you going next, Robbie?
I'll leave my jacket, my Geely. To follow you.
You're allowed in. Exactly. You're not getting to America.
Here's one for you, right? I wonder, I watch this space. I've been racking my brains all day. Is there any players out there who maybe Robbie Nielsen's worked with, who maybe not getting a game at his current club, who maybe doing a bit of media work to pass the time, who maybe went to the same hair clinic as Robbie Nielsen, who would maybe fancy a wee move in January to Tampa? Any come to mind?
Did they not say also he was named a frustrated skateboarder? Kind of skateboard over that neck of the woods as well.
Are you looking at the wig?
Can you listen? It makes sense. Put two and two together.
You can imagine that baldy bit at the top of that nest.
It is hurricane.
Roasted.
Hurricanes obviously are.
Oh,
and blow off.
You'll be having expenses to Turkey every 3 weeks.
We cannot be doing with another hole in the weekly roster on Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
What happens?
You've ditched us on a Tuesday.
That might be
Tampa going to come calling, aren't they?
Stay. Of course. He said good. See, he doesn't say a lot.
Enjoying?
He sits under the wee hat. He's okay.
Tampa. See, wear a hat.
I've got, I skip hat.
Tampa are bound to come calling, surely.
Of course it makes sense. Of course
it will. I would love it. Do you think Andy would take that? He's still a bit in his contract.
Would you sit on the bench every week at Dingwall and Livy, or would you take a wee stint in Tampa?
Andy's made a living out of sitting on the bench.
Exactly, so why you not sit on in Florida?
He takes his own seat. Every bench has got the Halliday. No one, you walk down the park and you see the names. Every ground you go to the away thing now, Halliday.
I think it's a no-brainer. Anyway, quickly, back to Ibrox, please, Sandra McLean.
Ibrox ahead of this one. We did talk about Rangers' really impressive home record in the Europa League. It looks even more promising when you realise Sparta aren't great travellers either. No win in the last 10 European away ties. The last one was actually in Glasgow, beating Celtic 4-1 3 years ago. That won't be on the mind of Philip Clement, no. It's about the here and now. He said yesterday he wants to build a machine. He's happy with the progress that they've made so far. He says there's still a long way to go, though. One thing he has emphasised, though, is the connection between the team and the fans, it being back in a strong position after a fractious start to the season, really. And as I look to my left, there's a big tifo as well in the Broomloan Road stand. The blue, white and red flags are out, and there's a big banner that says, "By your side, we're loyal and true." So the Rangers fans will be in full voice tonight going into this one. I'll just give you a recap of the starting lineup as well. Just the one change, Leon Balogun drops out, not in the European squad, of course. Ben Davies comes in. Jack Butland continuing in goal. The back four, James Tavernier, Connor Goldson, Ben Davies and Borna Barisic. The two holding midfielders, Ryan Jack and John Lundstrom. It's Todd Cantwell, Sam Lammers and Abdallah Seba in behind Danilo. The substitutes, McCrory, Wright, that's Kieran Wright, by the way, the young goalkeeper. Scott Wright not on the squad for this one. Dessers, Lawrence, Cifuentes, Sterling, Ruth, King, Devine and McCausland. We are almost ready to get underway here at Ibrox.
Go on then, score prediction, you two.
I'll start. I think this will be a tough game for Rangers on the evidence of last week. I'll go 1-1.
Really?
1-1?
That home record.
No, home record.
They won't get beat.
I fancy Rangers 2-1 tonight, and I think I've got one of the teasers, by the way.
How'd you come up with that?
Yeah, we're almost out of time. Let's recap the teaser. Let's recap the teaser then. It is the last four Old Firm players to score two or more in a European game. You've got James Tavernier, Alfredo Morelos, two to get.
I'm just taking a guess here. I think it was a qualifier.
I told you it was a qualifier in 2021, remember.
Is it David Turnbull?
David Turnbull against Jablonec, 2021.
He's good at reading upside down, writing, studying your paper there,
Gordon.
I
think you could see my sheet from there, could you?
No, I did not.
And the last one, the Rangers one, Matondo's got it on Twitter.
It's no Matondo.
Lindstrom?
Nope.
Is it outfield? As in, well, you wouldn't think of it.
What?
Defender.
Left field is the phrase you're looking for.
Right, left field.
Now, here's my final clue. It goalkeeper. Is specifically left field.
Barisic.
Borna Barisic.
Really?
Against
boom.
Antwerp.
Antwerp. There you go. I wasn't reading
it. Read that upside down.
There we go. 01419511025 for tomorrow. Make sure you join us 6 o'clock. We'll look back on whatever happens at Ibrox tonight with Hugh Keevans and Kenny Miller. Looking forward to that. And in the meantime, just stay right there because Amber is up next.